Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and oh my god, there is no fucking way that's actually the Devil May Cry opening. What fucking year are we in? God damn. And with me, I have...
Nightmare Blunt Rotation. Bring me the horizon covering Oasis and its Wonderwall. Kill me now.
And...
Felsy, that was a bunch of shit. We gotta make some better stuff. We gotta make some money with this shit. Yeah, and we get... In between Ray Sheldon is a better help, motherfucker.
God fucking damn. We couldn't get one of the VPNs.
We tried. I tried. I'll probably get Nebula, but that was on a budget.
God, what was... We really need to get a budget for this, man. Like, we can't work with the same amount of money as fucking, like, I don't know, the bad takeout restaurant down the street. You know, if you got one of those.
Comedy.
Yeah.
This is what we do to make it hurt less.
Yes.
But, this is episode 380. Sound off if y'all ain't dead.
Define your definition of dead.
Still having a pulse, I guess?
Alright, let me check. Yep, still there.
Yeah, there's a pulse. There's a up pulse, steady pulse, spectrum pulse. How many pulses are there?
That many.
Okay, so yeah, we're all still here for now. You never know what's going to happen later, especially considering shit's going down. Fucking criminy shit's going down. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to distract you from all that shit going down.
Yeah.
And I have been doing that on my own time by diving into the world of very specific Weird Al Yankovic memes.
Ooh.
Specifically video remixes of the Flash videos for Albuquerque and Everything You Know Is Wrong, and of all things, the intro to the Weird Al show, that one kid's show he did in 1997 on CBS. I don't know how I ended up into that section of the internet, but I'm glad I found it because it's been very fun disassociating myself through the means of parody music. I've also decided to dig a little bit deeper into the Weird Al category, and I've rediscovered one thing. Dare to Be Stupid is a masterpiece of music. Like, not just in terms of being a Devo-style parody, but the composition, the arrangement, the lyricism, it's genius! My god, the things you look back on after a certain amount of time, it makes you go, wow, this is great! What else am I forgetting? I need to dive a little bit deeper.
Truly one of our greatest living icons.
He deserves the Super Bowl and so much more.
That's happening this weekend.
Yes, it is. That might come back around later. You never know.
Foreshadowing is a literary device in which...
things happen.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Fucking love stuff. Anyway, Mark, how have you been doing?
Well, let's see. My week has been the usual. It's either working. Surprisingly, it's not that cold anymore. At least it's not as cold as before. It's getting slightly warmer. I mean, it was warm today. I mean, well, it was warmer this afternoon. It was warm in the morning. It was cold in the morning, but maybe there's nothing to do. But it's that tournament where it's like, well, it ain't getting that cold now. So I don't know. Enjoy the no more weather while it lasts. Something, I don't know. And as usual, I tend to just, you know, keep myself busy with looking through mostly YouTube stuff or forgot that I have Roku. That means I have Crunchyroll and the Crunchyroll feature on it and a Hulu free channel. Or that, you know, one of those things. And what's coming on this? I was watching that the Crunchyroll Hulu channel one day. I saw in the East play, and I think, oh, they changed the, oh, they changed the theme song because the thing was right to know that shit.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay for Oasis, which I say good. Yeah. The less Oasis we have to deal with in the world, the better.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Oh, I hate to say this, that other theme is kind of boring. I don't give a shit about Oasis, but I mean, even at least the thing kept me interested. I mean, sorry to say, but the other thing was like, okay, you're just some very generic anime opening. I mean, whatever, but okay.
Ah, one of those, unfortunately.
Yeah, like I say, don't make me say good things about Oasis, because I know, because then again, I really don't follow Oasis that much, or care for them as much, or hate them as y'all do.
All you need to know is that they're the embodiment of that one band from that one SpongeBob episode that goes, I hate you. I hate you too, man. And they're brothers. There are stories about like bar fights and bus fights.
Maybe a knife fight.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've been hearing about not a brother fight a lot.
We'll see if they survive to the tour. I'm still betting
Probably not.
Anyway, as for me, well, not really much. I mean, I did meet Mom for lunch. We had Texas Roadhouse. It's pretty nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah, before it's pretty good. They got the rules be kind of good.
By the way, since you bring up the rules, I need you all to know, in case none of you were aware, they sell the rolls at Walmart now. And the cinnamon butter.
Oh.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Need to look at that.
Also, I think I'm getting more and more up in accomplishing more in the stakes in Balatro. I've noticed that my best luck is when I start with the yellow deck. I really need that extra financial insurance at the beginning to build up, you know, the interest. Yeah, I'm getting really close to, I think I have a couple more stakes, like two or three more stakes before I completely max out that one deck, and I can finally see the mystery of whatever that last unlockable deck is.
Meanwhile, I'm still learning my way around how to actually build everything so that I can unlock the balance deck. Then the world will be mine.
Excellent. Anyway, but this isn't a Balatro podcast.
Yet.
This is a music podcast, and we've got music stuff we got to talk about. So, of course, as always, we kick things off with a new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. So, let's start off at the top here with the album that's actually the farthest ways away, interestingly enough. So, electronic producer and singer Caitlin Aurelia Smith has a new album dropping in August, the 22nd to be precise, called Into Your Eyes. And of course, we kick things off with the title track here, which sounds pleasantly nice. The beat has a lot of these subtle computerized, like, synthy ascending melodies. The verses kind of have, like, this subtle buzzing synth that does kind of swell and build with the other melodies as it goes on. Smith's vocals are coded in a lot of, you know, reverb and other effects that blend in solidly well with the instrumental. It's nice.
Yeah, I'll say it's very nice. Very springy sound, very kind of calm sound. Like, yeah, I could never dig this track. What's with the fucking video, though? Like, the Quentin Tarantino did this shit. Like, you like you squishing food with, here's a food with either, you squishing eating food or squishing food with your feet and eating the shit, like there's some type of slash fetish video that some might know. Like you just squishing fruit with your feet and eating your mouth and just eating like real close. Like, what's that about?
I mean, hey, if it pays the bills,
I guess. Yeah,
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, the last time we talked about the Indian metal band Bloodywood, they had a baby metal collab to give us, which slapped. Of course, as we know, they're actually dropping a new album on March 21st titled New Delhi. Get it? New, like new metal. And in the meantime, while baby metal is off making a very terrible mistake. Seriously, who the fuck? I want to know who in their camp told them it was a good idea to collaborate with Slaughter to Prevail. Alex Terrible lives up to his name. Stay far the fuck away.
Ew.
That is unfortunate.
Anyway, let's stick to Bloodywood, though. I just had to get that jab in there. So, Bloodywood have a new track here called Tarka. And as expected, stylistically, it's got what you would expect. That very nice, like, fist-pumping kind of jock jam metalcore with the syncopated, detuned guitar grooves. The vocals and the verses having that kind of, like, you know, new metal rap flow. Of course, eventually giving way to, you know, super grand, huge, soaring, triumphant choruses. And if you're wondering what the song is about, well, it's about how much Indian food fucking slaps. And I can confirm, when I was visiting family in North Carolina, my sister took me to a pretty good Indian place, and that shit was quite fire in multiple senses of the word. But there is a bit more going on. Like, it's not just about Indian food being some of the tastiest shit in the world in general, but also more about kind of like the general importance of food, like in a spiritual communal sense, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. My take on what the track actually is, imagine an alternate universe, an alternate timeline, where Linkin Park was formed in India, and they really like Vision with Babish and Hot Ones. And that's what this song is. It's just fun.
Bro, now I just want Indian food.
Gotta do too. Sounds good.
I'm gonna have to do some Googling. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, it's been about 4 years since we last heard from the band Sleigh Bells with their full-length album Texas, but I guess they must be ramping up for some new material because we do have a new single here called Wanna Start a Band. And, man, I really remember liking those first couple of Sleigh Bells records. And I'm just sitting here like, what got lost in the formula? Because, like, this is a really, in theory, it is like Sleigh Bells in the sense of like, you know, like a lot of their material. It's got like those really bright, like electronic synth pop elements playing against these kind of like brash, loud guitars and such. But it suffers from this one weirdly specific problem that's kind of been floating through a lot of their recent music. The lack of a strong hook. Like, seriously, you listen to those first couple of Sleigh Bells albums, they got fucking hooks for days. Those riffs and melody stick in the brain like nothing else. But, like, I don't know. Like I said, it's fragmented. It's just, everything here is kind of weirdly all over the place. Too much so to, like, really stick in the brain in any sort of meaningful way. And that's kind of underwhelming.
Hmm. Well, I'm not as familiar as I probably should be about this band. But for what it's worth, I thought it was all right. A good blend of riffs and electronic madness blending together, but the thing about not having an actual hook, it is kind of noticeable when you think about it.
So I guess we'll see what the rest of this pans out like over the next few months. But speaking of Sleigh Bells, for the next track here, time for a little bit of a history lesson. So as we know, like, Sleigh Bells consisted of two members in the studio, at least. So vocalist Alexis Krauss and guitarist Derek Miller, who technically helmed from my neck of the woods, well, more like around Coral Springs to be precise, as one of the founding members of a metalcore band called Poison the Well. If you were really into, like, you know, that late 90s or 2000s, you know, kind of the era of, like, Glassjaw and Remembering Never, you know, metalcore before the Scene Kids took over, then this kind of music would be 100% your jam. And they were pretty active for a while until their last studio album came out in 2009, then they went on a bit of a hiatus while the other guys went off to do a whole bunch of other stuff. Until 2015, when there was like a reunion, although I don't think it was the full original lineup, there's been some shuffling around here, and I'm pretty sure Derek Miller is not a part of the lineup as is right now. Either way, they got back together, they started doing shows again, and last year, when they had some vinyl reissue out, I forgot to jot down the name of the album, they did in fact announce that they were doing a new album, their first since 2009's The Tropic Rot. And so that leads us to their first new single in like a decade and a half, here titled Trembling Level. And this one doesn't waste any time. It rips right out of the gate with lots of dissonant guitar chugs, feedback, and those super off-kilter drum rhythms before ramping up into, you know, the hardcore D beats, going into a solidly melodic chorus, kind of bouncing back and forth between that healthy, you know, that kind of melodic hardcore bounce, especially with like the particular melodic slash gruff vocal delivery that you get throughout. I even really like that part, like the drum roll, like that whole buildup has a solid sense of eeriness to it, you know, a palpable sense of menace, as the kids say. But yeah, for a comeback single, this pretty much does as good a job as you could ask for, I think.
Well, it's heavy, it's cutting, it wastes no time. Consider me impressed with its barrage of punches to the face, but no downtime in between. Which is my way of saying it's fast, it's heavy, it's aggressive, and it will just smack the shit out of you. It's good.
Speaking of smacking the shit out of people.
Oh boy.
I'm funny.
Yeah.
Comedy. So for this last track we have to talk about here, I gotta tell you, of all the things to make a comeback in the 2020s, the Willennium is not one that I was expecting. Though I'll take that over the comeback of Nazi bullshit. Apparently, we live in a timeline where a brand new Will Smith album is happening. It's supposedly due out in March, called Based on a True Story. I didn't see a specific date yet, but let's just say March. And we have a new single from the man here. Actually, now that I think about it, I wonder if that Die Lit song is going to end up on the final track. Anyway, so the single here is called Beautiful Scars, and it features Big Sean. Interesting choice. And hey guys, here's a fun bit of trivia. Did you know that Will Smith almost accepted a role in The Matrix, but then turned it down to be in Wild Wild West, a true cinematic classic?
that certainly was one of the movies of all time.
It certainly was, and if you think I'm only bringing it up as a cheap segue, the entire point of the song and video are... Well, okay, like half the point of the song, all the point of the video. Either way, this thing is drenched in Matrix references and essentially is Will Smith getting to live out his fantasy of being Neo. And he even does the thing that we all thought about doing at one point or another, swallowing both pills at once. Admit it. You all thought about it.
Yeah, I kind of did.
So, yeah, with all that, you know, in the pipeline as far as the song itself, I mean, the beat's all right. Kind of feels like very, like, again, 2000s, Hot 100 kind of rap stuff. Not like the ringtone rap, but like the more, I guess, soulful kind of stuff. And, you know, Will Smith brags about being an icon of Philadelphia, how cool he is in the form of a bunch of Matrix metaphors, all that kind of stuff. Big Sean is also feeding into the Matrix metaphors. And also bragging about, you know, being a legend and getting bitches. I gotta be honest, this is one of the songs of all time. If it weren't for the novelty of Will Smith and his intersection with the Matrix, I would just kind of be like, well, okay, I already am kind of like, pass. It is simply there, as the kids would say.
Yeah, I'll say this song is, well, I mean, it's there. It's better than Get Lit. That's for damn sure. It's definite, which ain't saying much. But yeah, it doesn't matter of those very early 2000s, like very inspirational songs, sort of like that, in a way. Which Because you got last from Will Smith saying, "Going forward, I won't switch. Want to call Mr. Smith just to mention, on a regular basis." Okay, which okay, because a lot of metrics points, especially with Big Sean, where he said, "It's Mr. Anderson, and Mr. Smith. We don't call the codes. I got tired of being on control when as I go, when as I grow." Yeah, because Mr. Anderson, well, that's Sean's last name, Sean Anderson. Then yeah, you get the point. Yeah, I'll say this. This song is very, very well mid. And by mid, I mean middle of the road. That's what I meant. It's neither good or bad. It's just there. Oh, and also, fun fact. Turns out, since yeah, there are credits in this video, right? About the guys who did the previous Bad Boys movies. No, really. You see the names like I want to say Adil and Bilal. That's the dudes who directed the, you know, Bad Boys 3 and 4.
Huh. Good to know.
And also remember this. They're the ones. The one where I said, your Batgirl movie. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. It's getting scrapped. And then they said, you wish you would have kept us now, huh? Considering they have Bad Boys 3 and 4.
So, yeah, the Millennium. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this new album will do better than the last one, Lost and Found.
Oh, come on. What could be so bad about that? You say that like there was a Train Records video about it.
Yeah.
Eep.
So, yeah, anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got some news, so stay tuned. And we're back. So like I said, we have some news to discuss here. Now, I know what we said in the past that like we weren't gonna ever really do full-on dedicated deep dives into the Grammys. However, because of certain circumstances, I feel like it's at least worth a quick overview, or at least as quick as it can be given given, it's us.
Yeah. What thing that happened that you know that we that all three of us get excited about? 1, 2, 3
Kendrick Sweep people.
Kendrick Sweep. Yep.
Yes.
Not like Sweep. It won all its awards.
Record of the year, song of the year,
best rap performance, best rap song, and best music video.
Yes.
It took all of them. It's like it's truly a wonderful moment to think that this song towards Drake won 5 Grammys. It won more to Drake. That's why any Grammy in his life.
Fucking magnificent. Now, see, I did not watch the Grammys. Like I said, I was a little too deep in Balatro, and also watching that new Adult Swim show, Common Side Effects. Pretty interesting. 2 episodes in so far. I recommend it. But like, I smiled when I saw the Skeets. And I saw the photo of him, like, genuinely struggling to hold all those Grammys. Drake, I bet you're really regretting playing Nostradamus with someone go hand him a Grammy right now.
Like, all right, thank you.
I can tell you, I did watch the Grammys on Sunday night. I watched all 3 hours and 51 minutes of it. It ran 21 minutes long. And I will say, it wasn't terrible. Either say, considering the performances on display and who won and who didn't win, this might be the best Grammy show they have done in years.
Yeah, that sounds like it's not a high bar to clear, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, now, again, that's just my take on it. I watched it. I like the performances. I like Chapel Brown's performance. I like Charlie XCX's performance a whole lot. Teddy Swims was pretty good. Doichi was pretty good. Sabrina Carpenter, I can take or leave the whole 40s Hollywood tap dancing routine. Billie Eilish had a great performance too, though she didn't win anything, which should tell you how front-loaded a lot of the pop categories were.
Yeah, sure sounds mm-hmm. like it.
Yeah. Oh, and Beyonce finally won Album of the Year. About fucking time!
Not only that, she also won Best Country Album and Best Country Performance with the song Two Most Wanted with Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, the duo performance. Yeah.
Yeah, the duo performance. Yeah. So hey, she did. She proved all them fuckers down at the, shit, what's it called? At Nashville, yeah, in Nashville, whatever.
And Nashville, Music Row, wrong yeah.
That, yeah. Music Row, yeah, whatever they are. Or wrong in that, hey, I made country music, and I made it just the way we did. Not only that, she brought some people who, you know, that they sort of get noticed, like, you know, from our legends, the other black country singers. And kind of think she won both out Country Album and Album of the Year. That means now you say when the album was on the board, that means the features get a Grammy too.
I believe that's how it works.
So that means Shaboozy got an award too because he was featured on the album as well.
Nice. That's wonderful. I'm going through the list of winners. I can tell you Charlie XCX won Best Dance Electronic Album, Best Dance Pop Recording, and Best Music Packaging, which is awesome and kind of funny. Justice and Tame Impala won Best Dance Electronic Recording.
Yes.
That's very cool. Sabrina Carpenter won Pop Vocal Album and Pop Solo Performance. Duo Group Performance went to Die With a Smile from Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars, which I have found out is going to be on her new album Mayhem coming out in March. Woo. It's the last track on the album.
Ooh, huh. So,
man.
Yeah, we kind of don't like it when people do that. But you know, it is what it is. That explains why it's been getting a lot of recent airplay and pushes, so now it makes sense. In the rock categories, honestly, if they don't care, why should we? However, in the metal category, Gojira won.
God damn, I'm proud to be a metalhead.
Yeah, and there was actually a kind of a funny story that happened during the red carpet interview bits. Involving Courtney LaPlante. This is funny. Don't worry. This is funny. Okay. One of the interviewers, who clearly did not know who she was, introduced the interview bit, you can find it on the internet, with, here with rock royalty, Poppy. But Courtney LaPlante is the one being interviewed. And she just takes it in stride, completely stone-faced, full kayfabe, going, yes, I am Poppy, and I am really happy to be here nominated with Knock Loose. I really hope we win. Gojira obviously won. But it continues on, you know, as the interview with quote-unquote Poppy is going on. And Courtney says, I haven't looked at that number of women who have nominated in the male category, but I just always know that. You know, it's time for one of us to win. And I hope it's me or Spirit Box. Courtney is awesome. Completely stone-faced. Not selling anything. It's like, oh my god, I want to get out of here so fucking bad.
If
you have not seen the video, you'll find it, you know, anywhere. Like, it's funny. It's funny. She took it like a champion. But, yeah. Also, we had a tie. Yep. In the best progressive R&B album category, which is basically the best soul category, Avery Sunshine and No Worries won.
Woo!
Nice.
Yes. I was struggling, like, okay, another tie. And I like how Avery Sunshine, she seems so very happy. Like, I can't help but feel, for happy for her. And of course, because I let them afford. Boys, No Worries won again. Well, these were the first time No Worries won. I mean, I know Aspect won many times, but it's the first time No Worries, as in the Pack of Knowledge, won something. Yeah, good, good. And also, from R&B, she's the one from R&B song with Saturn. Lucky You, with That's You, won Best R&B Performance. Money Long with Made for Me, won Best R&B Performance, and that's it. That's it. Nothing else happened.
Nothing else happened. Although in the performances, I'll mention a couple more that happened. Shibuzi, he did his stuff. That was a really good performance as part of like the whole new artist, group performance. Shakira did a performance late in the show, which can we go back to the era of like 2000s Latin dance and not this boom bap reggaeton crap that's been over homogenized for the last 5 years? I miss that kind of music. In the tribute to Quincy Jones, which happened, we had Janelle Monáe doing Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. It was awesome.
Nice.
I will say, however, there was one kind of suspect moment, which with Harvey Mason coming out, the main guy from Recording Academy and the Grammys, basically giving himself a pat on the back by saying, we messed up a couple years ago, but we've been doing a whole lot more ever since then. And we made good on fixing something that we kind of messed up with. We brought The Weeknd back to perform, which...
Yeah, I heard about that.
The performance was fine. The reasoning why... I'm sorry, I know there's probably good intentions, but I can't help but feel it's a little suspect. But that's just me. That's just my take. I will say... having The Weeknd up on stage performing some of his new songs was very cool. It could have done with like 100% less Playboi Carti lip syncing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, listen, the album's good. Playboi Carti contributes nothing to it.
That's all I gotta say for the album. You'll find out in due time. Yeah. And you know what? I want to mention this one thing. You remember when we recorded the Grammy nomination thing? And of course, the one thing I remember about that episode was, well, Robbie on his roommate, which yelled, I hope Luke Combs doesn't win a Grammy.
And well, what happened? Yeah. Luke Combs won no Grammys.
Not only that. Oh, Madam Taylor Swift left empty-handed as well, and I say good. The nature is healing, at least in the music scene.
Yeah, and well, in the country realm, Beyonce won 2 awards, and of course, one with the Keith Musgraves and Chris Stapleton. I can say this. At least it wasn't Post Malone.
Thank God for that.
Listen, as soon as you told me that, I jumped into her DMs and was just like, no Grammys. And she's just like, sleep with one eye open. And I'm just like, joke's on you. I don't sleep with eyes. I am, as they say, eyeless.
So does that mean you can't see California without Marlon Brando's eyes?
No, I cannot.
That's unfortunate.
So, yeah, that was a Grammy Awards. Man, it's probably never going to get as good as the Kendrick sweep again.
We still have Sunday to look forward to. Like, there is a not zero chance Not Like Us will play at that show. And when that happens, I should say if that happens, Drake, just go hide like the most remote part of Nova Scotia or Prince Edward Island and just never come out. Like, We don't care. You have some new album project coming out with fucking Party Next Door. Who the fuck cares anymore? Go away. Go hide in the middle of nowhere Canada and just retire. Just leave. Just don't come back.
Oh, and also, Grammys. Now that you settled, now that you settled the one thing that was wrong with, you know, you give Beyonce her album of the year award, which, you know, she deserves. Next year, not many more rap albums in your
album.
More than just one. By the way,
in fact,
you can put Tyler in.
Two.
You can put Tyler and Kendrick on there.
That's going to be the battle for next year. Tyler versus Kendrick.
Oh, Lord. If there was ever... I really hope there isn't like a beef between those two, because I like both of them.
There won't be.
Don't worry about that. I'm just saying, Grammys, you can put trap albums on the album year category. I mean, you put fucking... What's his face? Jacob Collier on there. Hey, you put that one. You put that 100,000 album that wow, was interesting. That, you know, I don't think anybody kind of cared, or at least I don't know. I mean, I care. I mean, I sort of care, but it's not like up to that level. But yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Grammys next time. But. Moving on from that to our next news article. So, how long has it been since the last time we had to talk about Frank Ocean in album form? Like, fuck, I think that was the pilot episode of this whole fucking podcast.
So, it's been a very long time. We're still waiting for that new album that will most definitely happen someday.
But in the meantime, he's doing not that. Instead, much like Charlie XCX, he's getting into the film business, directing his debut feature film. We don't know much about it. The plot details are under wraps. It's untitled. We just know that it's begun shooting in Mexico City, and it stars David Johnson, a British actor who's apparently fairly recent. According to this Variety piece here, his most recent, at least his big breakout role, was kind of as the co-lead in the movie Alien Romulus. I haven't seen that one. I don't know. I'm just kind of like alien'd out. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. Good for this actor and good on Frank for finding more artistic ventures. But seriously, come on, man. No new album? What the fuck?
It's been almost 10 years since Blonde.
It certainly has. Jesus Christ. Yeah, like I said, the last time we ever had to really talk about Frank Ocean, like, in a musical capacity was literally episode zero. This was in the mysterious pre-Mark time of the podcast.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, what do we have to do to get a new album out of this guy? Like, we've been trying to astral project and materialize a new album from this guy for almost 10 years. What do we have to do to make Boys Don't Cry a reality?
I'm very scared as to what the answer for that could actually be.
And I thought Simpson wanted to make another album.
Yeah, but again, we'll see what happens with that. But in the meantime, now we move on to our next topic here. So, we are, in fact, continuing with the gradual daily rollout of the lineup for the 2025 iteration of the Vans Warped Tour. And now, we could make this, you know, pretty straightforward and just wait until the end to actually see what the full lineup looks like, you know, band by band, and more fully fleshed out by, you know, location. But I've decided to create a lot of extra work for myself by creating an Excel spreadsheet that maps out the announcements by day, by location, and even by things like genre and when the bands debuted, because that is very interesting to me for some fucking reason. Yes, my parents did in fact take me to get tested when I was very young. Why do you ask?
I wish mine did to me.
Ah. Don't worry, you'll get that test someday.
Yeah.
But, now, yeah, like I said, I have a whole spreadsheet here. Because I was just curious how this was all going to break down day by day. And keep in mind, what I have is from... Okay, so we talked about literally the first announcement day last week. And here we're talking the announcements from the 28th of January to the 2nd of February. So, we're not including, you know, today. We're not including February 3rd today in this episode. We're going to be doing that next week. So, let's start off with the announcements from January 28th. So, what we have are the bands Drain, honestly, when I think about it, of everything we're going to say, Drain is easily, I can confirm, the heaviest band they've announced so far. Like, that shit goes hard as hell. And they are playing all three dates. Their debut album came out in 2020. Then we have an emo band called Saturdays at Your Place, who debuted in 2021. They're only playing DC. There's The Main, an alternative rock band who debuted in 2008. They're playing DC in Orlando. And then there's 311.
Investigate. Why?
They're only playing Long Beach, but like, yeah, like, why? This is, I just want to rewatch the Eric Andre sketch now. And then, following that, we have a pop rock band called Honey Revenge. They debuted in 2023. They're playing all three dates. Now, let's move on to January 29th. Your announced artists from that day include Lolo, an alternative singer who's apparently really big on TikTok. She debuted in 2024. She's playing Long Beach and Orlando. Then we have a ska band called Fishbone, which is easily the oldest band that's actually on the roster. Literally, their debut album was in 1986. Good lord, what kind of audience are you looking to draw with that? They're playing DC and Long Beach. And then there's Fever 333.
Okay.
But remember, this is current Fever 333.
So, asterisk, got it.
So, they're playing all three dates, which makes sense. They're probably one of the bigger bands, you know, they could get so far. Then there's a... Cobra Starship? They're still around?
Why?
How?
I thought we left those guys behind like 10 years ago.
I guess apparently the good girls still go bad or something. Do they even have any other songs outside of that?
How would I know?
I don't know.
I'm asking rhetorically.
So I'm guessing Warped Tour is going to be a mix of 90s alternative and ska, modern punk and hardcore, and whoever is left from Fueled by Ramen, which sounds terrible to me.
Remember, kids, as we all know, there's nothing worse than leftover ramen.
I ain't heard the name in a long time. All the other from that dude, that band was well. Well, say the obvious, the Snakes on a Plane song. Remember Snakes on a Plane?
Yeah, we unfortunately, that's kind of how they got famous in the first place, so we have that movie to thank.
You know, assuming you remember anything about that movie outside of a motherfucking snake. And, yeah, they were around since 2006, but anyway, aside from that, the last band announced for January 29th was We Came as Romans. I haven't really followed much of them outside of, like, their first two or three albums, I want to say. I'm actually kind of surprised they're still around, but eh. So, yeah, debuted in 2009, and they're only playing DC. Now, let's move on to the announcements made January 30th. So, there's a pop-punk band called The Starting Line, which debuted in 2002. They're only playing Orlando. Then we have Census Fail. You know, they made a really bad first impression on me, because I once heard them on a Tony Hawk soundtrack, with a really annoying cover of Suicidal Tendencies Institutionalized. But anyway, yeah, they've been around since 2004, some, you know, quintessential post-hardcore. They're playing Long Beach and Orlando. Then we have a pop-punk band called State Champs, who have been around since 2013, and they're playing all three dates. Then we have, there's a name I haven't thought about in forever, a singer named Lacey Sturm, who, if that name is ringing a bell in your, in that cranial space of yours, she's the singer of Flyleaf, who are apparently themselves still around. I thought they disbanded once like, Lacey went solo, but I guess they rebounded at some point.
Oh,
I heard the name.
There is not enough time to talk about her. Not in the slightest.
So, yeah, if you like your Christian hard rock, and you are gonna be at the Orlando show, there you go. Anyway, moving on from that, we have a pop-punk band called Point North, who debuted in 2020. They're playing all three dates. And then we have Whiplash, an emo/alt-rock band from Mexico, apparently. They debuted in 2021, and they're playing Long Beach. Then we move on to January 31st. So, first up, we have a rap rock band called Fame on Fire. They debuted in 2020. They're playing Orlando. Then we have a group called The Home Team, who describe themselves as a heavy pop act. If you listen to a lot of Issues back in the day, then this is your music. They're playing Long Beach in Orlando. Then we have a post-hardcore band called... Did I say post? Post-hardcore band called Story of the Year. They debuted in 2003. They're only playing Orlando. Then we have... Oh, get the fuck ass out of here! There's no fucking way 303 is still around in the year of our Lord 2025. And as expected, they're playing all 3 days.
Well, that fits my whole Fueled by Ramen theory, doesn't it?
And how. And then the last of the January 31st announcements is a band I haven't thought about since high school. Bless the Fall. Seriously, they debuted in 2006. How are they still around 20 years later? They're playing DC and Long Beach. And then that brings us to February 1st. The announced artists on that day include the likes of Royal and the Serpent, which is some kind of electropop act. They debuted in 2023. They're playing all 3 days. And then we get... This one's kind of interesting, I think. So, it's a really new group. They literally debuted last year, called The Barbarians of California. And you might be wondering, who the hell is that? Well, their most interesting association is that this is a metal/hard rock group founded by Aaron Bruno, the vocalist of AWOL Nation. And I bring this up because I actually did give, like, a listen to the whole AWOL Nation discography. And they had a new album out last year that actually did have a few songs that went fairly hard. Like, legitimately, there was some pretty credible chops on it. Also, there was a guest appearance by the current Linkin Park vocalist. And this was, I think, like a month or two before From Zero dropped. So that's kind of an interesting timing factoid. But yeah, Barbarians of California, they're playing Long Beach only. Then we have a pop rock group called Beauty School Dropout. They debuted in 2022. They're playing DC and Orlando. Then we have the band CKY. Been around since at least 1999. They're only playing Long Beach. You know, I hear that name all the time, but I really couldn't tell you much about them other than I think they're friends with some of the Jackass guys.
Yes. Can you hear this?
Yeah, yeah, that much I do know.
Yep, that's that song. That's the only song anyone knows about them. And for the record, it's a good song, but yeah, kind of one-hit wondery.
Anyway, we have a punk band called Destroy Boys, debuted in 2016, only playing Long Beach. then the last day that we're talking about in this particular recording is February 2nd. Your announced artists include a pop rock group called Worlds for a Cinema, who debuted in 2021. They're playing all three weekends. Then we have an electronic group called Waves, and I, for the life of me, could not really pin down their discography where it starts, because that is one of the most search engine unfriendly names I could think of. It kept getting mixed up with either Waves with two V's or some folk rock act from the 70s. Either way, this Waves, they're only playing Orlando. Then we have the post-hardcore band Scary Kids Scaring Kids. They debuted in 2005, of course. They're only playing DC. Then we have an alternative act called Carol's Daughter, all one word, debuted in 2022. They're only playing Orlando. Then we have a pop singer named Cami Kehoe, debuted in 2023. They're only playing Long Beach. So, yeah, I'm getting a sense of a lot of, you know, just pop rock and post-hardcore and pop punk. Those seem to be the main three flavors, with maybe a bit of other stuff here and there. And, again, we're going to see how it continues to further shake out amongst the next few days of announcements. So, you know, I guess look forward to that. I still have my fingers crossed that we get Spirit Box and Knocked Loose. Come on!
Yeah, we need some thick red meat on the table here.
Yeah, we need to hear some good news, because, like, everything, all the news that we've been getting this year has just been absolutely terrible. Like, fucking unambiguous shit. We already have literally the fucking current administration dismantling every single thing that keeps the fucking gears even remotely greased and stable in this country, leading to plane crashes, 20-something crypto dorks having access to social security information, a constant back and forth on fucking tariffs and trade war bullshit, ICE raids everywhere, and I'm just sitting here thinking, what the fuck else could go wrong so far this year? Is the author of One Piece gonna die? Is Tommy Tallarico gonna get an 8th world record and crowdfund more money for a game console? Is James Summerton gonna emerge from the void and act like the plagiarism bullshit never happened? Is Jared Threaten gonna pop back up on YouTube with a bullshit-ass new song and probably some kind of stupid bullshit sob story in order to make us all forget about the bullshit that he did? Foreshadowing is a literary device!
It sucks being on this fucking hot ball of gas we call a planet.
So, yeah, if you're wondering what all that was about, well, first of all, I've been re-listening to H-Bomber Guy's video backlog because I can't believe we went all of 2024 without a new video from the guy. I can't wait to see whatever he's cooking up next. And second, yeah, so one of the great enemies of this podcast, one of the great sagas of our time, has seen fit to rear its ugly head in this most heinous of years. Now, yeah. As a quick reminder, in case you forgot about this, so back like however many years ago this was, there was a man, a bullshit hard rock musician from LA named Jared Threaten, who conned, lied, cheated, stole, and possibly even also killed his way into a European tour that no one attended because he didn't have a real fan base, because he used so many bullshit methods to con and fake a fan base, from bot and like farms to poorly edited videos to just lying email addresses, an entire network of fake websites. Not just, like, fake levels and, like, fake video production outlets, but, like, fake music blogs hawking all kinds of bullshit sponsorships about how cool he is, about how his music would highlight the different instruments and the different things he could do on the different instruments. And then, when all that was just, like, fucking discovered, it turns out he was actually some fucking okay black metal bassist from the Midwest named Jared Eames, who was kinda doing some shit. Apparently him and his brother were sort of considered the Gallaghers of the Midwest black metal scene, which is a very oddly specific kind of label to adopt to yourself. But you know what? Whatever. But when all of that was found out, he faded away into the ether until a year later, to commemorate the anniversary of this entire con falling apart, he played a show in Europe that had like 50 people attending, and the whole thing basically devolved into like fucking wish.com Eric Andre performance art. And here I thought the end at last. We would never have to hear about this guy again. But no, because Pandora's box is already fucking open. We can't have a moment of peace now, can we? Like, I am crashing out harder than Bob Belcher in the early seasons of Bob's Burgers. I'm pretty sure my roommate on the other side of the wall is listening to this like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Well, I'll tell you all what the fuck is going on. What the fuck is wrong with me? Jared Threaten came out of the void and posted some garbage-ass new song, but there's a brand new angle that is particularly terrible if you spend way too much time thinking about it, because apparently the song is called Die Young, and it was allegedly recorded, quote, in the weeks leading up to Jared Threaten being hospitalized. And if you're wondering, boy, wow, that actually sounds kind of terrible, does the music video have a bizarrely large amount of hospitalization footage? You bet your sweet ass it does! Because, oh boy, this is like... Okay, I know I'm already in the middle of crashing out on like 47 different tangents, but remember how I brought up the whole James Summerton thing? Y'all remember how, like, when there was, okay, for those who weren't following that in the aftermath of the H Bomber Guy video, there was a point where he posted some kind of, you know, pity party pseudo-apology video to YouTube, and there was a whole lot of implications that supposedly he was on his way to the great beyond by his own hand. But then it turned out, first of all, he was clapping back at everybody criticizing him from an alt account where he was apparently posting nudes, no less.
Hold on. I actually heard when this was all going on, those were stolen. He even plagiarized nude pictures.
Oh my fucking god, this guy. Okay. Yeah. Not only did he plagiarize nudes, which I'm pretty sure could actually get you arrested, assuming that person did not consent to their nudes being released, but then it turned out he was still perfectly alive and fine because he was trying to rebrand himself as a TikTok e-boy, but everyone caught on to that shit real fucking fast. See, that's the thing with serial liars like that. You cannot trust them when they try to throw out a pity party. And this is where I kind of fall into this weird, bizarre gray area with Threaten, because obviously a lot of this reeks of the same shit. Like, first of all, I should probably mention, the song is ass. But, like, not even the way that the usual Threaten songs we've heard are ass. There's barely any guitar shit in this. This isn't, like, your cliche radio hard rock. This sounds more like fucking, like, okay, I recently listened to the music of Set It Off. Their first two albums are alright pop punk. Their latter three falls into the same kind of annoyingly plastic bullshit that Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco have been making in the 2010s, and this sounds like that. It's that kind of annoyingly plastic, you know, pop trap production bullshit. And then you get into all the imagery, the him in the hospital bed and all that, and, okay, so the actual description says, due to severe health issues, Jared Threaten has been hospitalized after years of misdiagnosis. It was discovered that he had a life-threatening illness. Following a series of heart attacks, he underwent an emergency open-heart surgery that left him in a coma. Now, I want to say a few things. Like, I split on a few emotions, but I want to confirm at bare minimum. This man is absolutely exploiting this situation for clicks and attention. That is just true no matter what, because again, he's a serial liar with no scruples. Of course he would. Where I'm kind of wishy-washy is on whether or not the health stuff is even in and of itself actually true. Because here's the thing, when he gave his whole, like, Columbo villain speech, you know, when we were discovering, like, the actual truth about this guy, he said something about, like, I actually did discover that I was, like, you know, having some kind of major health condition. I was like, I'm gonna go for broke and do this European tour thing. Which, I believe, if I remember correctly, I said, this was, like, stupid Breaking Bad. Which is still a funny combination of words. But the thing is, I also remember that's one of the few things in this whole narrative that, technically speaking, could sort of be true. Because if you look at all the interviews with, you know, some of the backing members, specifically, you know, his hired bandmates Joe Prunera and Dane Davis, they did in fact confirm that he seemed very, very off health-wise. And those are the only two names in the situation, again, that we can't listen to. So, it's full well possible that maybe he actually did have a severe health scare. But that does not change the fact that he's exploiting it for clicks. And that is a particularly heinous flavor of terrible and disgusting. Again, it is James Summerton levels.
Yeah. Now, again, the part about there being an illness, sure. There is plausibility there. On this level, where there is apparently cameras and photographs of all this stuff, yeah, like, if you cry wolf 17 times, why should people believe you the 18th time? And this goes into a further, I guess you could say, sector of people who have been known to lie, and lie to everyone about everything. Just take your pick. James Summerton, Illuminati, Tommy Tallarico, Vic Mignogna, take your pick. All of these people are habitual, pathological liars. Jared, go away. Just go the fuck away.
God fucking damn it.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me four times, fuck you.
Yeah. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you again. Fool me three times, you're a bitch.
The important thing here is I had a spectacular crash out that'll make for some amazing content.
Not quite on the same level as the Tim Lambesis freakouts, but it was up there.
Oh no, I think I held the fact that I held together more consistently makes this a equivalent, I would say.
Let's never speak about this guy ever again.
And how? But that about does it for all that business. And that just leaves us with one last thing to take care of before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of February 7th, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Ginger with Duel. We have the new album from Obscura with Asonication. Speaking of plagiarism, yeah, there's been some not pleasant behind-the-scenes news about that. Anyway. Oh,
goody.
From the band Guided by Voices, we have Universe Room. Dropping a couple days, this is actually on Wednesday, February 5th, there is a new album from Creepy Nuts with Legion. Now the question is, will it have Bling Bang Bang Born and Otonoke? We can only wait. From the collaborative efforts of Real Bad Man and Zaloopers, we have Dear Psilocybin. From Larry June, 2 Chainz, and The Alchemist, there's Life is Beautiful.
Okay, I didn't expect to be out there soon. And, oh yeah, I did you two singles out, which is like, oh, okay. So this is where, like, so this is where 2 Chainz actually sounds good on a beat, on Alchemist beat.
Yep. And last but certainly not least, the highly anticipated comeback of Mike Portnoy in the lineup of Dream Theater with Parasomnia.
Yeah!
Now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The place where the skies are blue, Xander's Thoughts, that's where you can find me. I hate promoting myself. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, and yeah, I'm a fucking hermit. Leave me alone.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I'm on Discord. If I'm in mental media, I'm on Blue Sky, but I feel like once I take a break, I'm gonna try to limit my time around social media because things are too much. but also on my site, hypeone.wordpress.com, where I still ain't doing nothing yet because I'm busy actually writing my shit.
Yeah, right. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Be sure to visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast Q&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to find the link to our Discord server there so you can immediately jump in and, you know, chat and be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. Yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. So, until then, have I mentioned you can't make me listen to that Oasis cover?